From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, ever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey, Bob. I feel like my chair is rather low, Bob. Let me boost my chair up a little bit more.
Are you okay over there?
I was starting to sink into the ground, Bob. But yes, back here, another exciting edition of Bob After Dark.
Not every week, every rendition of Bob After Dark.
For the most part, it's all exciting.
It's always exciting until we have tech issues.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Thanks, Chuck. We know you're listening.
Yeah,
right now.
he's testing it.
Testing the waters right now because we've been having some tune-in issues for the people that listen to live. So hopefully we sound good.
Yeah.
Anyway, Count, how are you?
I'm doing good, Bob. Again, we are here. It's a nice summery day in the Chicagoland area, so can't complain too much about that. And just enjoying life as a vampire, as I always do.
That's a plus.
Yeah. How have you been, Bob?
You know, every day is a new day to heal, as I've been telling myself throughout the entire process of what I've been going through. Everything's doing okay for the most part. I can't complain. I spent the past weekend not only with an injury, but a sinus infection to boot. So I was dealing with pains and sick.
Really?
Sick for about 4 or 5 days on top of dealing with pain, and I was kind of a miserable mess, but, you know, feeling better now, all good and COVID-free, so that's a perk, and just doing my thing.
There you go. Well, that's like, as long as you take care of yourself, Bob, that's the main thing. The health comes first at the end of the day, and glad to see you're all right.
Yeah, it's great to see you're all right.
I'm doing all right, Bob.
That's good. Folks, if this is your first time ever listening to Bob After Dark, or maybe watching on Jed TV, we are your weekly show where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural. We talk about, you know, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, and weird cryptid stories. And of course, we also celebrate birthdays of a certain vampiric producer here on Bob After Dark.
You're talking about me here?
We are talking about you.
It is.
For the children of the night listening at home that are the Count Panic fanatics. I think that's what, I don't remember what your fan base is called. I'm just going to call them the Panic Fanatics.
I never heard that one.
I just made it up on the fly.
That's actually not bad.
Improv, man. And everything comes in threes.
The panic fanatics. Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. I think I smell new merch.
You're going crazy with this, Bob. It's perfect. And okay, I'll take that. I'll take that fan group.
But it's your birthday. Not today.
A couple days. And a vampire never reveals his age.
So do we celebrate your birthday of year of human birth or when you were transformed?
I think we're going in the transformed years now, right? I think we go by those years, I think.
Do you remember who bit you?
It was in the era of Lincoln, I believe.
Lincoln?
Yeah, the Lincoln. He was a vampire hunter.
He was a vampire hunter. You and Abe Lincoln have a rivalry?
We had a little kerfuffle back in
kerfuffle?
The day.
Kerfuffle?
Yeah, a little kerfuffle going on.
You know, you have an interesting bag sitting next to you real quick.
I do.
And, for our audio fans, it's a green bag with a upside-down bat that says Fantastic.
So I'm not holding the bag upside down.
The way the bag is. It's a cleverly cartoony bag.
That's a pretty cool bat.
Then you want to see what's inside said bag.
Oh, there's something inside.
I didn't give you just a bag. You think this is?
You could have stopped it at the bag.
What are you going to do with a bag?
Oh, it's a paper, Bob.
It's some tissue paper. You got to look inside. What's in the box?
What's in the box? Let's see here.
I already pre-opened it for you because we're live, you know, audio and video, and it's kind of difficult.
Oh, Bob.
Yeah.
Look at this.
That, my friend, is a purple neon acrylic light.
Oh, that's cool, Bob.
So once you have the batteries in it, you turn it on, and it'll light up purple.
That's really cool, Bob. Thank you for that. I could keep it up. This is really nice. I love neon, Bob.
So yeah.
Neon lights are pretty cool.
Were you a fan of Batman Forever back in the 90s?
I was, yeah. Who wasn't? I can't wait to see this light. You know what? While you're talking, I may find some batteries over here too as well. We may be able to get this running during the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'm glad you like
thank
it.
You, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate
happy
that.
Birthday,
well,
Count
thank
Panic.
You, Bob. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So there you go, folks. We always celebrate the happy birthdays, and you can call and wish Count Panic a happy birthday live tonight if you're listening to the live show. 219-845-1100. Put Panic to work by making him pick up the phone lines to wish you.
Yes, don't take it easy on me.
Don't take it easy on him. No, absolutely not. Folks, we usually split the show up into two segments. It's where we look at things, the spooky news of the week. That's where we look at the news articles that are anything weird and paranormally about the news. So ghost sightings, cryptid sightings, weird advances in science fiction, or maybe some high strangeness. And then we move over to the lore of the week, where we talk about the meat and potatoes, or in my case, the bread and potatoes of the episode, where we take a bit of lore ripped from the diaries of Dr. Ben Vanderson himself, and we talk a little bit about the story. Mm-hmm. This week, we're celebrating a certain vampire by talking about a vampiric story, but we're going to get to that a little later.
All right.
But first, a Bob After Dark first.
What happened?
I have a story to tell you.
You have a story.
It was like, I don't remember the time of day, but let's just say it was 10 o'clock in the morning, and I was kerfluffling, trying to get my act together for the day, and I look at my phone, and I see that I get a text message from Count Panic saying, and I quote, oh boy, and I'm like, oh, what do you mean, oh boy, are we getting, you know, it's not a good way to start a text
message.
You're right,
I'm sorry
message.
About just, that, because old boy could mean good or bad.
Oh boy could be, Bob, you done goofed.
By the way, we sound fantastic on the tune-in. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck. Yes. I appreciate
it. All it took was just boosting everybody's levels up.
Okay, that's great. Thanks, Chuck. We appreciate you. So anyway, I lost my train of thought. So no, I get a text message. I get a text message at 10 o'clock this morning, and it says, oh boy. And I say, well, what does oh boy mean? And I get a link. And can you guess what the link was?
I sent it, but what was it?
Okay, well, thank you for playing the part of, astounded fan. It was a news article link.
Yeah.
That I and a fan did not do, but Count Panic found himself.
Nobody hit you up on this. This is a big
no one. You know, I was surprised. I get a lot of cool news articles sent to me every week that we can, you know, reach and talk about. But this is like a big deal one. And you know who brought it to my attention was Count Panic. Now listen, Count's got his own fan base. You guys are...
What do we call them?
Panic... The Panic Fangnatics. The Panic Fangnatics. You guys are great. But as you know, Count Panic doesn't... He hangs out. He does the producing of the show. He answers our phones, makes sure the show runs smooth. And he sticks me with all the lore. I would say over the years that we've done the show, Count Panic might have picked up on several things.
Yeah.
Yule Cat.
Polish Disco Demon.
The Polish Disco Demon, Yule Cat, and Mothman.
Yeah. Shiny Appleseed.
It's a deep cut. But over the time, you know, Count likes his stuff, and he makes sure the show runs smooth. But Count Panic gave me a news article, and I almost fainted.
This is a big one, Bob.
It's a big one. And it's probably, I would say, the most relevant news story we've ever covered on the show.
For sure. I would say the same thing, too. I would say
and
the same
so
thing.
Because of this monumentous occasion, and because it is Count Panic's birthday,
wow.
I'm going to pass it off to Count Panic.
Ooh, this is big.
To break the news story, and you're going to get a hashtag Bob's Take.
This is, okay, well, I'm ready for this. Well, again, this made some national news. Now, you know, people like to talk about the government, and this is not a political show, Bob. We don't talk too much about politics.
No.
But sometimes the government does have they step into the paranormal realm of things.
Sometimes?
Well, you know, they do, but they don't talk about it all too much. But they're talking about it now. You see, the first time in 50 years, Bob, Congress is talking about UFOs once again. And this is from a multiple news circuits, but I'm using the ABC News one here. Pentagon now reports about 400 UFO encounters. We want to know what's out there. Top Pentagon officials told the House panel on Tuesday, that's today as we're filming this, that there are now close to 400 reports from military personnel of possible encounters with UFOs, a significant increase from the 144 tracked in a major report released last year by the U.S. Intelligence Committee. A Navy official said at Tuesday's hearings that investigators are reasonably confident the floating pyramid-shaped objects captured on one leaked, widely seen military videos were likely drones. That footage, which military confirmed last year was authentic, had helped spur the interest of purported UFOs, also referred to as unidentified, you know, flying objects there. The article goes on, for too long, the stigma associated with the UAPs, UFOs, has gotten in the way of good intelligence analysis, he added. Pilots avoided reporting or were laughed at when they did. We've seen an increasing amount of unauthorized or unidentified aircraft or objects in military control training areas and training ranges and other designated airspace. Now, there's still some disagreement exactly what it is, what they seeing on camera. Are they UFOs? Are they just kind of just some random drones? Are they just dust? Maybe dust in the wind is all it is. That's a song, I think.
That's a song. Or you're quoting Bill and Ted, whatever comes first.
But you know, this the big thing is that they're talking about this, and it's the first time in 50 years they're talking about this. It's being brought to Congress because 400 UFO encounters, that jump up from the 144 tracked in the last year, that's a pretty big deal. And of course, people remember things in 2020. There were more news announcements coming out with the involvement of UFOs in our skyways and things of that nature that was brought out to the attention. Some people said, well, geez, they're telling us this now, maybe when everybody's invested what's going on here on planet Earth in 2020, you slip into UFO news now. But they're talking about it still, 50 years after the fact, and UFOs back in the congressional discussion. Now, I reached out to our local congressman, Frank Mervant. I sent him an email. He may two things, Bob. He may have saw the email, be like, this is goofy. I'm not going to go on and talk about UFOs. Or he just didn't see the email. But we did reach out to him to see. Maybe he had some say in these congressional discussions. But that's what we know right now at the moment, Bob. They're actually talking about it in Congress.
Okay.
Hashtag Bob's Take.
Hashtag Bob's Take. It's everybody's favorite game. First off, I want to say, Congressman Mervant. We're as serious as serious gets, man.
Yeah.
We're not joking.
No.
We want the truth.
We do. I told him that in the email. Maybe that's why he hasn't answered me back.
His strongly worded email from Cal Panic. We demand the truth. Come on this AMFM radio show.
You know what? My headline, my subject was "We want the truth" in all caps. In all caps. So he might have been scared about that. Hopefully he didn't put some fear in him. But yeah, we do want the truth.
The truth is out there. I want to believe. I wasn't surprised by the article, and I wasn't surprised by the headline. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because these reports are more rampant than they ever have been. Some are hoaxes. A lot probably are. But occasionally you're going to find things that are, you know, that kind of have some concrete to it. I want to say that we don't typically do alien talk on Bob After Dark. Reason being, I am not a UFOologist.
Well,
yeah. I dabble. I understand it. But the people that really hanker down and study the alien world are very... what's the word I'm looking for? They're very detailed and very educated on their topic, right? Mm-hmm. So they know a lot more than I do, where, you know, I guess there's some crossover cryptozoology. Are they aliens? Are they not? We don't know. But there's a lot more cases, right? And there was, you know, I remember Steve was on last year, I think, was an episode we did with Steve where we had the news article where the Navy pilots testified that they what they saw were UFOs over the ocean. And it was a very redacted, but a kind of a military stance of, yes, UFOs exist. We don't know what they are, or we're not going to tell you what they are. And, you know, when you get into the UFO talk, sometimes you get to tinfoil hat territory. And we're not a conspiracy theory show. So it's
well, that's like this article kind of says. Pilots avoided reporting them because they were laughed at.
But then, and that's when you look at that, though, it's you see that case in anything high strangeness. I'm using that or paranormal, whatever, in any category. You know, a ghost sighting, cryptid, whatever. You don't typically see people step up and want to make those reports heard, especially if there's some sort of high-ranking official.
Yeah.
because they're going to get ridiculed. You look at, and I always use this as an example, but if you look at the case of like the Loveland Frog, that sheriff was laughed out of the office and lost his job.
Yeah.
These are high-ranking military people, so that's a little different. It's like, if you see something, you should probably say something. But either than that, it's, I don't know. Do you get what I'm saying, though?
I get what you're saying.
It's a very popular topic, and it's not as simple as, you know, the little clusters of people interested in the alien phenomena anymore. You have this happening in, like, the general public. It is a very popular thing. And I think the longer that the government would avoid talking about this, maybe, I don't know. I think they just realized that they needed to give some kind of answer, and I think this was the best answer we were going to get.
Well, again, we did reach out. If we have to go to his office and...
Listen, if you listen to the show, and it doesn't even have to be Congressman Mervman. I just would appreciate
anybody
that.
From Congress.
I would appreciate Congressman Mervman because I don't have to work too hard to find the guy. He's just like four blocks that way.
We'll go find his house.
We're not... Stop. No. No.
Just knock on his door.
No, we're not. Panic. That sounds borderline illegal.
Definitely about knock. We're not going. We'll knock on the man's door.
No, we're not going to his house.
He might invite us in.
His office.
Okay.
And it's just one of those things. I'm interested to hear what a congressman has to say on this, or a congressperson, I don't know, you know, whatever. I'm interested to hear what they have to say about the topic. So listen, Congressman Mervman, I would love to hear it. Bob After Dark, we're in the network on, like, under where you're at jurisdiction-wise, so reach out to us. We want the truth. Or at least... we want to hear from the inside scoop.
I like that too.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Bob. How do we know that's not classified information? Maybe they were told at the end of the session, hey guys, you can't go on local radio shows or podcasts to talk about this stuff too. That could be a thing as well, but you never know when it comes to type of this stuff. I believe, Bob. Oh, I know we're getting a phone call.
Take it live.
At the end of the thing, I believe that the truth will come out eventually.
All right, take it live. Take it live.
All right, let's take a call live.
You're on the call. You're on the air, caller.
Well, hey there, Bob. You say the count's got a birthday today?
In a couple days there, John.
In a couple days. Oh, man. Well, I'm glad I listened.
Now he remembers.
I'm going to forget the count's birthday.
Jumping the gun a little bit, but we're doing it.
This is when we record the show.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I see. Hey, would you kind of relate UFOs and Bigfoot sightings as far as, you know, they're sighted, they come and go, the topic of conversation is here and there, then it fades away. Nobody really wants to dab into whether it's real or it's not. Do you relate that or no?
There is crossover between extraterrestrial studies and like cryptozoology. Some people believe that cryptids are actually just aliens and they're kind of shot down to Earth. One of my favorite Bigfoot theories, and it's a little kooky, but I find it fascinating. Some people believe that Bigfoot was actually an alien prisoner.
What?
And the prison is Earth. So the Bigfoot species dropped it off on Earth and made it live here as a prison.
Well, that's interesting. I never knew that.
And some people believe that more extra-dimensional versus extraterrestrial, if that makes sense. Extraterrestrial is different planet. Extra-dimensional would mean like whole another plane of existence is where these cryptid things come from. But there are people that believe totally that the things like the Flatwoods Monster, we haven't talked about that on the show yet, surprising enough. Like, the Flatwoods Monster comes across as, a direct alien encounter, or the Hopkins Goblin. That sounds to me like a straight extraterrestrial thing versus something else. You get what I'm saying, though? There is definitely a big crossover between the two.
But unless I missed it, is there any special reason why Congress brought this up again today? I mean, was there a...
This sounds like a question Count Panic can answer.
I just don't think they could ignore it any further. There were so many reports. They had to kind of come to a head with it, and they had, hey, you know what? We're going to talk about this in Congress here.
I mean, you know, are they running out of subjects to talk? You said today we're going to talk about UFOs. You know, we don't know what to talk about anymore.
I think it was just on the agenda. Well, Bob, wouldn't you say that you had to – you got to kind of treat these topics seriously sometimes.
Listen, this is a major,
if this happens where they kind of touch down here, that's a major concern.
That is kind of a concern, I would say, yes.
Well, you know what? If one UFO lands in Wicker Park over there this week, I think Mervan will definitely be out there and checking out.
John, I need you to write your congressman, and I need you to tell your local congressman to talk on Bob After Dark.
Well, I tell you what, that might not be hard to do. You know, this is going to be a highly contested November election, so he just might come on Bob After Dark.
Can we get a bunch of people to do that?
Listen.
You gotta believe, man. You gotta believe. And you know what? Maybe I'll even work on that for you. How do you like that?
John, listen, we get as many congresspeople to call in. The one time Bob After Dark goes political.
Everybody's going to want some airtime. And, hey, why not a Bob After Dark?
Listen, if they could go anywhere, they have, like, three options. It's either my show, Joe Rogan, or our last podcast on the left. Yeah. And you can pick me.
They'll take all three right now. So there's always a possibility. But
this could make or break your campaign.
We're not a political show. We talk about monsters.
But we want the truth. That's the problem.
That's it. But thank you so much for calling in, John. We appreciate it.
All right, Bob. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too. Do we have another caller?
We do not right
okay,
now.
Okay. Well, you can be the next caller, 219-845-1100. Call and wish Count Panic a happy birthday if you would like.
Yeah, and this hopefully UFOs don't show up before it's all said and done. Do you think they know that Congress is having meetings about them?
You know, I have my own theory about the whole extraterrestrial thing.
Yeah.
And would you like to know my theory in a nutshell?
Might as well.
So, and we'll move on from this, and sure. We're going to go back to, I have a really goofy story next that'll make everybody kind of laugh. Do I believe in extraterrestrials? Absolutely. I think in the year 2022, it would be very hard to say that you don't believe in the great vastness that is space, that something else doesn't exist.
Yeah.
If something out there in the universe is more advanced than we are, why would they come to Earth? There is nothing you are going to learn from a species of dumb primates that learned how to talk and be able to use a screwdriver. We are a warmongered, terrible species that likes to torment and hurt one another and stuff. I'm not trying to sound preachy here, but it's honest. You know,
you're saying the aliens are more peaceful.
They're probably a little bit more peaceful than we are. If you've evolved past the stage that we're at, and I would say that technology advanced and this and that, I would still say at the end of the day, humanity as a whole is kind of a train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that if I was an extraterrestrial species and I looked down and been like, man, these people are totally moving into dolphins. Like that, I would just be like, nah, dude, I'm going to Venus.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip right over this.
Well, I mean, again, time will tell what exactly happens here.
Exactly.
But it is interesting to talk about it.
Right. So that's just my theory. If they're out there, I don't believe that they're coming here. They might fly by. You might have some hiccup moments. Dr. Ben Vanderson just said the Enfield Horror, another case we need to talk about on the show. That sounds very extraterrestrially.
But Earth is like a flyover planet.
It is. It's like a drive-through state. Yeah. You know, they always say you have like those drive-through states. You go through it and, you know, you stop and get your food and then you just keep moving.
Yeah.
I would say Earth is very much like that. Drops by, sees what they need to see, and then they skedaddle on out. You may have some hiccups along the way, but as a grand whole, we're going to show up and say, well, I would skip over this planet in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Again, just interesting that it's in the public eye once more, in the congressional eye, you could say.
All right, you ready to move on?
Sure.
All right, so this next news article comes from the Daily Mail, and it is a shout-out to our old pal, Anthony DeFabio from Australia. I miss you, Anthony. I don't know if you're listening to the show or not, but, man, I miss you very much. So there is a Australian psychic who reveals a true five signs that your house is haunted, and she talks a little bit more about like moments she's had on the job, and I was almost attacked by a spirit. So this particular, what they refers to her as, a Australian ghost whisperer, Katrina Legato believes that she has seen it all and has some of it is nothing short of terrifying. I believe that 100%. I would agree. I've seen things I can't explain, and sometimes those things you see are absolutely horrifying. It is a, she herself explained that psychic medium, and sometimes these ghosts that she deals with are scared and confused. Well, we're going to look over the five signs that she writes that your house is haunted. So without a doubt, you have these five things going on. Your house is haunted.
Okay.
And I hope Patrick from Ghostly doesn't hear this, because this is an article I want him to read, because I could see the steam coming from Patrick's ears about, you know, every one of these is explainable. Hashtag Team Skeptic. But let's talk about the five signs, okay?
Okay.
Your first sign. When the house or particular room is always cold.
That's a big one.
So if your house is always cold, or if you have like one room that is specifically cold all the time without like the use of an air conditioner, it's cold.
And you can't explain it.
You can't explain it.
Okay.
Other than a microclimate.
All right.
Two, when you feel movement or footsteps when no one's there.
That'd be a big
one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I would agree with these first two so far. Your personal objects move around.
That's a big one, Bob.
But they never specify on their own.
Well, I assume, right?
Do I witness them move around? That one, I don't necessarily believe in the object moving around thing. I've seen people do some strange stuff under stress. I've hit, like, sometimes it happens. All right, next one. You move to a new house and start to argue. You don't feel at peace with your family. That sounds like you just went through a move.
Yeah.
If you've ever moved before, that just sounds like you're going through a move. I'm nixing that sign altogether. And then the last one is you always feel drained, like you're not sleeping well.
That could be anything, though.
That could be a lot of things, too. That one's gray area. I'm going to go with the first two. I'm going to agree with her on.
The
microclimate weird spots in the house where you got those, you know, weird cold moments in the house, I would say those are definite clear signs of maybe you have something going on, or if you're hearing the disembodied footsteps. But why not move with the disembodied footsteps to something like disembodied voices? If I'm hearing voices, and if other people are hearing voices, not just myself, if other people are hearing something like a disembodied voice, I would say that would be a sign. Versus objects being moved around, because there could be other things that play that aren't ghosts. We talk about fae sometimes. My other one is if multiple parties are experiencing the same thing you are.
Mm. Yeah, because at that point, Bob, everybody's witness to it. So how can you, go against multiple people saying that this happened? That's a good one, Bob. That's a good one. But yeah, the first two for sure. Especially, and again, the things moving around, I'm guessing the article means things are just moving without you moving them. So that would be a big one. But I'm not too sure about those last two.
Okay. So I want to make my own list. I totally agree. I'm not discrediting the psychic's work. I think that what she does is cool. She is definitely one of those. She is a type to go and perform cleansings in the house and whatnot. And that's good stuff. I just think this list could be a little bit more beefier.
Yeah.
There is a second part of this list is how to tell if a spirit is evil.
Oh, that's a good thing to have. Good thing to know.
You will always feel a sense of terror around the experience. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
If there, you know, you have a certain level of fear, like, even me, I'm very well versed in the paranormal and things that go bump in the night, right?
Yeah.
And I still get spooked on things that might come up. You know, something might make me get a little
Yeah.
But if that feeling turns into nauseating effects, you know, if you feel like you're going to throw up, you feel like you're emotionally drained, or you've gotten physically, you feel physically hurt, but you haven't been touched. I'm right there with you. I agree on that one. The next one is they use scare tactics like playing with lights. I'm going to nix that one. There are playful spirits that will screw with lights to mess with you. I know. I've gotten thread thrown at me by Uncle Bill before. You know, like it happens. Not every spirit that screws with things is going to be a, and I quote, bad spirit or a demonic activity. Sometimes they just want you to, you know, pay attention. I always said the, you know, when the first sighting of my dad happens, when dad's good and ready to make himself be known. I mean, I've had some weird experiences since dad left. I would say my dad would screw with me because that's how he was in life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I expect that to happen. But my dad's not going to be a bad spirit. He's just going to drive me nuts like he did in life.
Yeah.
They crack mirrors and throw things against walls. I'm right there with you on the throwing things against walls. Right there with you. If you're experiencing, like, me and Panic are sitting down in this room, if that stool over there flies across the room, I'm going to assume that something's very violent. The term evil is very subjective. Mm-hmm. It might be a very violent spirit. It could be potentially demonic to want to throw a chair across the room, or specifically throw a chair at me. So I agree with that. I have never heard of a spirit cracking a mirror because mirrors are kind of sacred to them. You know, it's a portally thing. Why would I break the one thing that could get me to move around quicker?
That's true.
I've never heard of a ghost. And if I'm wrong, somebody out there have ever experienced you know what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah. With the mirror.
I've never heard that. So if there's a ghost story that you have that involves something actually physically breaking a mirror, let me know. I've never heard one.
Yeah. But that makes sense. The portals, why would they break their own portal? Now, vampires, they don't like mirrors, so we would break those mirrors right away.
You don't want no mirror. I see you got your light up.
Yeah, if you're watching the Jed TV here, I got my little thank you, and it glows nice. You know, this is the only source of light I need in life.
You know, the Queen of the Night's got a really big purple one too, and that's like my favorite one out of the for night, like Halloween light up neon collection. That's the reason why we got that one for you, because it reminds me of what we have for the collection. That's my favorite piece.
You ready for this, Bob?
Yeah, I want to see it. That looks so cool, man.
Look at that.
It's a beautiful purple light
up bat.
And it's miniature, too, so that's an easy one to fit on a shelf.
And I like because it's you don't have to plug it in, right? It's battery operated. So those are always nice. Not to burn the house down with this.
I'm glad you like it.
Look, look how cool that effect is. Look at it. It's like I'm in Batman.
Fill in the Kiss from a Rose here because I cannot pay for, you know.
We can get Seal.
We can't pay for those rights.
All right. I got to turn the lights back on I can't see anything.
All right. Let's move on.
Sure.
Hashtag panic steak.
Again, I agree with the top three. The last two seem a little fishy. I mean,
what about on the evil side?
But the mirror breaking. I'm with you on the mirror breaking.
I don't like the term evil spirit because it's very subjective.
Yeah.
You can have a very violent and angry entity. Evil's very subjective.
Yeah.
Tricking is, I don't know. That's just my two cents. But either way, that's what I have to share.
Perfect. Lessons to be learned all over.
That's good. How are you doing so far?
Doing good, Bob. Enjoying my light here. I'm enjoying these stories. Still have yet to hear back from my congressman, but we're moving on throughout the show.
We're moving on. Yeah. So last story comes to us from our old pal, Tim Banal.
Of course.
From Coast to Coast.
Wouldn't be a show without him.
This is one of them weird science fiction stories that are weird science stories that borderline on science fiction. And what we have here is an algae-powered computer.
Okay.
A team of researchers at the University of Cambridge have powered a microprocessor for a full year using blue-green algae. The power-producing cyanobacteria were enclosed in a AA battery size plastic and metal container with an aluminum adenoid and connected them to an ARM Cortex M0 microprocessor. I don't know what that is.
Sounds fancy.
Scientists think that the electrical output was the result of a bioelectrical mechanical process. That's a lot of things going on there, in which the algae generated electrons, which moved bacteria membranes to the aluminum adenoid and the bio battery. The bio battery worked in both light and dark conditions, powering the microprocessor from February to August 2021, an additional 6 months afterward, and continues to produce current. It's still running, and I hope to run for a very long time. And given the right conditions of light, temperature, and water, I cannot predict when it will stop, said the biochemist that was working on this, Paulo Bombay. And I'll share this article on the Children of the Night page so you guys can see it for yourself. It is fascinating that we took a living creature, and when algae is a living thing, and we were able to power a thing with that.
Yeah.
That is so fascinating, and it makes me, you know, it's like, is algae a cryptid because it's able to produce these weird electrical, these electric magnetic, like, pulses? And apparently this thing would almost sense when it needed to be brighter in the room.
Yeah.
And it would glow brighter. But the so hashtag panic steak.
Well, yeah, that is a fascinating, Bob. It makes you wonder what they're going to do in later on. Maybe the more of this will come out where they're going to power a bunch of things with this, you know, algae. But here's the thing with this. Are we going to rely on this in the future now? Will this be our main source of energy in the future? That's my
I'm
thought.
Interested to see where they what they could do with it.
Yeah.
If, you know, it's no secret that there's kind of an energy problem in the world. And we wonder what's going to happen with coal and et cetera. If you could figure out how to run things with algae, that's kind of cool.
You power your vehicle, Bob.
Be careful how you say that, because people have disappeared for trying to make cars run. On,
have they?
I don't want to disappear. We're not getting. We'll share that after the story. After the show.
Wait, are you saying I'm in danger right now?
No.
Okay, good to know. But yeah, it's again, this one instance is pretty cool. But then you wonder, well, geez, what's in store for the future of this? Maybe this could be a way things are powered. But time will tell on that, Bob. Time will tell on that. Nobody knows for sure just yet.
All right, Count.
Yeah.
How you feeling?
Doing good.
Ready to take a little break?
Yeah, sure.
All right, folks, for our live audience, stick around. And for our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a show that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
And we're back.
Wow.
Oh, hey there, Count.
Hey there, Bob.
What did you do during break?
I wrote my congressman, and I've been attracted to this light. I'm like a moth to the flame now. I've been hovering over this light this whole time we were on break there. But yeah, what did you do during break?
You know, I was actually playing with this thing you gave me before the show. It is a keychain squish brain thing.
Yeah.
And it's normally we have this bit on the show where we make up some wild things that we were doing.
I don't ever hear
people say anything about it. I don't know if they care, but I'm going to keep up with the bit forever because
for sure.
It's fun to me.
You never know.
During the break thing. But this is one of the times where I'm going to do a quick PSA. Apparently this week is Stroke Prevention Week. Mm. Know your signs of stroke, folks. Been a victim of it. My mother was a victim of it herself. So make sure you guys kind of pay attention to those signs. Look up your local doctor and find your signs for your strokes, because it's a serious thing. And you know, check on people, make sure they're safe and well taken care of.
Yeah,
that's important from me to you guys. Make sure you're checking in on people and make sure you know the signs for a stroke.
And then probably people are wondering, why is he playing with a little brain? It's this little squishy keychain.
It's a little squishy keychain brain for the National Stroke Prevention.
Local hospital. Thank you. Shout out.
Thank you. Munster Community Hospital. We appreciate that.
Yeah. They're endorsement.
They did not pay for advertising space.
They gave you a little squishy brain.
They gave me a squishy brain. If that's all it takes to sponsor Bob After Dark.
Good for
cheap day. You know, Count, it is your birthday week.
Yeah.
This is your birthday show, and it is your, it's your birthday show. So I was racking my brain on trying to define something that we could talk about that's vampiric. But before we continue, I have a quick question for you.
What's the question?
What is your favorite flavor of birthday cake? Are you a chocolate, vanilla, yellow, strawberry?
Oh, Bob, I can't.
Tres leches, if you will?
If I'm being adventurous. No, Bob, again, I have a few different favorite cakes, but you can't beat up a straight up good hunk of chocolate cake, Bob. You can't beat it. There's nothing better.
I vary on my favorite flavor of cake. Sometimes I like marble a lot. Sometimes I like white and yellow and chocolate. But it doesn't matter as long as the cake is topped with buttercream frosting.
Bob, I'm with you. We can go on a whole rant about
this isn't the Bob and Panic spooky cooking hour. However, people have asked in the past about doing like a paranormal cookbook.
Buttercream. Gotta have buttercream.
Spooky buttercream.
Yeah. Because, you know, you get those some people that do like the whipped cream alternative. And I like whipped cream, but not, you gotta have the buttercream cake, Bob. It's no question about it. Put the buttercream. Show me the buttercream.
I'm also a fan of carrot cake. But yeah. You don't want to put buttercream frosting on a carrot cake. That is cream cheese specific.
You know, I feel carrot cakes, if you're in a distinguished party, maybe.
Is a distinguished party me sitting on my couch watching like cartoons on a Saturday?
I guess that is a distinguished party. Yeah. Now, before you move on, because I know you're moving on to something here, worst cake.
My least favorite?
Or just the plain old worst cake. You hate this cake. Do you have a cake you hate? I don't know if I even have a cake I really, really hate.
Panic. I am a man who enjoys the finer things in life, like cake.
Yeah.
I don't think there's such a thing out there of a cake I don't like.
Really? Okay.
I mean, I don't consume a lot of cake all the time, but I do enjoy it. I don't think there's one I'm not a fan of.
Yeah. All right. I'm probably the same boat with you.
That's the thing. Like, I would like to say ice cream cake, but even that'd be a lie. Sometimes, you know, a piece of ice cream cake isn't good.
My problem with ice cream cake is it kind of, you know, you get gypped on one or the other. I like ice cream separate than the cake, but the ice cream cake, it takes away from the buttercream. So it's really at the end. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
So that's good.
All right.
But I wanted to highlight this week something near and dear to your heart.
Yes.
And that is a vampiric story.
I thought cheese curds.
Yes. This is the Bob After Dark haunted cheese curd episode. Have you ever been possessed by a cheese curd?
There should be a top five list. How do you know your cheese curds are haunted? That could be.
They scream in Arabic languages when you press them. Yeah. Abraic languages as you squeeze them. Instead of biting into them and it's cheese, it's blood.
Oh. Don't you hate when that happens?
The haunted cheese curds, man. I don't know. Those are my two signs.
That's good.
I'm sure if they float.
But I know you weren't talking about haunted cheese curds.
No, I'm actually talking about vampiric stories.
Oh, I'm a vampire.
You are a vampire. Now, you think the people that might be listening that might be the uninformed. Vampire stories are all over the world, and sometimes you don't even call them a vampire. We have a vampire episode from a couple of years ago. You guys could check that on the Bob After Dark website. It's in the library somewhere, but we look at vampires as a whole, and I guess you could break down the definition. A vampire is a creature that has to consume something else's life force. Some vampire stories they suck the soul out of the person. Sometimes it's blood, sometimes it's entrails, you know, there's lots of different things, but as long as there is some sort of life-giving force that this other entity consumes, I would consider it a vampiric entity.
Well, that makes sense.
So we're going to use that as the loose Bob After Dark definition of what a vampire is. Now, depending on which classification of a vampire there's a lot, but I decided to pick one tonight it's a shorter story because we're timing, but this is a good one.
Yeah.
And this is the original Irish vampire story.
The Irish vampire story.
Okay. Known as Abertach.
All right.
Abertach.
I'm interested.
That is A-B-H-A-R-T-A-C-H.
How you say that again?
I'm sorry, what?
How do you say that again, Bob?
It is Abertach.
Okay, Abertach.
Abertach.
Got it.
Yep. Okay, so you ready?
Ready.
And thanks to the Node Gens for being able to post this article. We're going to be reading off of that one here. The legend says that back in the 5th century in a town of Slotvardy, Ireland, lived a brutal warlock known as Abnertach.
Okay.
In those days, the stories say, most lands were divided up into small areas ruled by petty kings, many of whom were hardly nice people. We're going to call this gentleman Abe.
Yeah.
But Abernach was believed to have dark magical powers and was a greatly feared by his people, whom he said to treat very badly. The townsfolk wanted to rid themselves of this troublesome king, so they hired another local king to deal with the problem. As far as coups go, it should have been simple enough. The king was murdered and buried standing straight up, which was considered the right and honorable way to do things considering his stature. However, unfortunately for the town of Slotvardy, the horror was not over yet. Abernach, in the legends, returned from the grave and demanded blood tribute from his people to sustain his energy. This led him to being slain and buried multiple times, but each time rising again from the dead, seeking the blood from the living. Mm. Eventually, the frustrated warlord, tired of slaying his undead monster, he found some people and learned the ways of magic and asked them for a solution to his problem. They explained that the monster was essentially between worlds and could not be killed, but that he could trap them under the earth if the proper steps were taken. These legends say he had to be killed with a sword specifically made out of yewood, Y-E-E-W, or if you played RuneScape, you know what I'm talking about, which we'll get to in a moment because there's more to that. But if you make the sword specifically carved out of yewood and you stab it through its heart, much like a steak story, it would slay the beast. However, it does depart from some of the modern lore that to keep him in his burial site doesn't necessarily just mean you stake him and he kind of poofs. There's more to it in this story. Because the other way is after you stab the creature, you have to bury him upside down for him not to be able to return.
Okay. Well, that's a big part right there.
So once you turn him upside down, you bury him upside down, you also have to cover the grave site with an enormous rock and thorns.
It's got to be thorns, too.
Thorns, okay. Specifically thorns.
All right.
Yes.
But why thorns? Is there any reason behind that?
If I was climbing out of the ground, the last thing I'm going to avoid is a thorn bush.
But you think the rock would be enough. I guess the thorns just add to the security policy, making sure that doesn't get resurrected. But they're going out of their way to make sure this they're long gone, that's for sure.
So we're going to squash something real quick here, too.
Okay.
Because there are people who believe that Bram Stoker, who wrote this book, Dracula, actually based it on the story of Abernach. So there's speculation that Bram Stoker heard of the legend while studying in Ireland and that it is likely much of an inspiration to the story Dracula. While it's hard to say for certain where of Bram Stoker's ideas originated from, the legend was fairly popular in Ireland at the time, so it seems to be safe that with his Irish friends who have told him the legend. Others point out that while in Transylvania, is usually given the origin of Dracula legend, and Stoker himself had never been to that part of the world. The only place that he ever lived outside of vampires was the Emerald Isle, where the original vampires came out of primordial dark to feed upon the flesh of the living. Mm-hmm. So is Dracula based off of the Transylvania lore, or, you know, you look at the stories of like Vlad the Impaler, is that what Dracula is?
See, I thought
is?
That was what
or,
it's all about.
Or is this or did we miss out on something and it was this Abernach fellow all along?
Yeah, I always thought it was the Impaler, Vlad the Impaler, but I could be wrong here, Bob. I could be wrong. Everybody could be wrong, because I don't think nobody really gives this guy much credit, but I'm definitely seeing where you could take some things from this story here.
So let's look at the way they eventually had to kill this creature and why they had to do what they did.
Yeah.
So the first thing, and I kind of scratching my head because I don't necessarily understand why people were being buried standing straight up back then. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that before.
No.
Perhaps something I was missing in my research. But when he was initially buried, he was buried upright standing up. And let's take this story at face value. Assuming they placed him face up and he was rising from the grave looking for blood, we're safe to assume that he was able to rise up because it's up and the concept of coming up is on the Earth crust. Are you following me so far?
I get the science here.
So the idea is that if you're burying him flat and straight up, that he's going to come back alive.
Yeah.
Now, why do you suppose that you a yew tree specific what needed to be used to kill him?
Well, because he wouldn't come back.
Well, why you?
Why me?
Y-E-W, the yew wood.
I know what you're saying there. I honestly don't know. What is the reasoning, Bob?
Well, I'm that's why I'm asking you. We're having a roundtable discussion here of this story. It's not the longest vampiric story out there, which we're having a quick discussion about. Is it's interesting that it has to be you would Y-E-W.
Yeah. Why not
Count Panic?
Yeah.
But you is the you would. I'm assuming you is probably the most popular. Is a very popular tree in that neck of the woods where the story of Avernock comes from.
That would make sense.
So they use that one.
Yeah.
And the other thing is we consider this one of the first vampire stories, or at least one of the more publicized vampiric stories. You stake them and they come back still.
Yeah.
So you stake it. Now, here's the thing. You got to take them and bury them upside down. And I could tell you why.
What? Now tell me why.
Because you're not facing up.
Oh. Yeah, that makes sense. Yes, that makes total sense. Why? Because why would you want them to face up? That would be devastating.
Then they could just come back up.
Yeah, yeah. That does make sense. But then you go through all that trouble to make sure they stay down by putting the rock and the thorns and things of that nature there. So good luck. Is there any stories about him rising? I mean, has he stayed?
He would rise and he would expect people to give him a blood sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So he wanted people to offer sacrifices to him in his honor.
Mm-hmm. All right. That makes sense. So sacrifices, basically.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, again, you bring up the wood being kind of essential to the story. Also, this was what year, Bob? This was many centuries ago, I take it. But, you know, depends on what wood you have there at the time. Maybe it was the only wood around. We know. Maybe this was the only wood available in that area.
Well, so the story of the story of Avernock was actually first collected in Patrick Weston Joyce's The Origin and History of Irish Names and Places, which was published in 1870.
Yeah.
And are you following me so far?
I'm following you, Bob.
So it was 1870, so it's an older story.
Yeah.
You still with
me? I am with you.
I'm waiting for you to say something.
Oh, it's an older story. Yeah, the wood. Yeah. So maybe the wood was only available at that time as well. You never know. We got to research. We got to get our wood expert in here as far as the wooden area goes. But fascinating tale there, Bob.
So people actually believe that there is a grave site dedicated to him as if this creature was actually alive. So if you go back to the town where the story is at, there is a pyramid-shaped tombstone with no inscription on it sitting in what looks like a graveyard, and they call it the giant's grave.
Yeah.
And that would have been the giant rock that they put over the burial site of the vampire.
Okay. Well, that makes sense too. So the giant's grave that goes over the vampire.
Yes.
And that guarantees the vampire shouldn't escape.
Yes.
That's what I'm getting out of it.
The other thing to keep in mind, so not only was Avernock just a vampire, mm-hmm. but he was also considered a warlock.
Oh,
so
dude,
he
wow.
was he and also, I haven't got to the best part. So if you look at his name and you try to translate it, it means deft fellow.
Okay.
So Avernock was also he was some sort of dwarven king as well. So he was also very miney, et cetera, like that, too. So he had several things going for him at the time.
He seemed like a guy that kept busy.
Yes.
Besides being a vampire and a warlock.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
it's good to have hobbies, even if you're a vampire and a warlock, though. Wouldn't you say so?
It's good to have hobbies.
I mean, you think by then, like, you're a vampire and a warlock, you wouldn't, you know, need much more in life. But then you go out and you kind of, I don't want to say an overachiever, but he may have been an overachiever, Bob.
I would say so.
Very well could have been an overachiever.
I pick one hobby and stick to it and get really good at it.
Yeah, I mean, who's he trying to impress? Who's he trying to show up back then? I guess being a vampire and a warlock didn't cut it back then. You had to be extra things as well. But good for him, though. Good for him.
What'd you think of your story, Compact?
I loved it, Bob. And, Bob, this is what I can't say I ever heard before. Because I like to think I know about a lot of vampires or vampire lore out there. You mentioned Vlad the Impaler. that's a pretty popular one. And this guy was a menace, it seemed like, back in his
time. He was very, yes. I'm going to use the Ghostbusters 2 thing, very Viggo the Carpathian. He was a very, for his area where he was, wasn't like a king, but I guess you could call him a king. So in the area that he ruled, he was very unpleasant to his people.
Yeah.
So upon his demise, just to kind of stick it to them one more time, yeah, now he's going to rise from the grave and expect a blood sacrifice in his name as well. So he's very Viggo the Carpathian in that regard, too.
A lot going on with that guy. Yeah. But this one, I never heard of it. I never heard about The Rock. I never heard about the thorns. A lot to go out of your way to bury this fella.
Well, so if you look in different cultures and the idea of how to kill a vampire, there's a lot of different ones of the staking through the heart and you have to bury them. This is the only story I've ever heard where you have to bury them upside down. And mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a cultural significance to that I'm not exactly sure of.
Yeah.
But it's a very interesting case nonetheless. The other thing is maybe it was his warlock powers that brought him back.
Could have been.
Because there's no origin story to why he became a vampire in the first place.
No. But I tell you, the warlock vampire combo, you can't beat that, can you? Vlad the Impaler wasn't a warlock.
Yes.
No. And I honestly think that maybe some of the stories were taken for the whole Dracula story right there. But, you know, the thing is, you know, the Dracula we see in the movies with Bela Lugosi and then, of course, been copied, so on and so forth, that's a classy vampire right there. Not compared to some of these old century vampires who were just kind of like Vlad. I mean, Dracula had the movie Dracula, Bela Lugosi, had some class to him, had some class. But I'm glad you could fill me in on this topic here, Bob, because I was very unknowing of this story.
I was going back and forth what vampire story I was going to tell you, because believe it or not, in most cultures, like I said, there is a vampiric-like tale.
Yeah.
So I just picked this one because it was a vampire king that came back and they eventually had to kill him with a U sword.
So I got a lot to live up to here. I'm a vampire that just eats cheese curds.
And produces Bob After Dark. You're a couple steps below the Abernacle.
How come I can't be a cool vampire?
Or Count Dracula when he calls in on the very few occasions we hear from Count Dracula.
Shout out to him, too, tonight.
I miss Count Dracula. Yeah. I haven't heard from him.
He's out there somewhere.
He's out there.
Yeah. Roaming the streets.
He's somewhere.
Yeah. And it's the show where airs at night, so you think you can call in. But, Bob, thank you for filling me in. And again, a special treat episode for me here. I got the vampire light. I heard the vampire story. What more can a vampire ask for in life? Thank you, Bob.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I hope you have a happy birthday, Cal Perry.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. Do you have any closing words for the audience tonight?
Closing words? Yeah, be careful for maybe some naughty vampires and some possible UFO action out there. Just take cover. But we're hoping they're peaceful. Write your congressman.
Tell your congressman specifically that you need to speak to Bob After Dark. We want to talk about
this.
We
want to know the truth.
All right, folks. Thank you for listening and watching to another episode of Bob After Dark. I just want to wish my mom sweet dreams and dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're having a really good time. And no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.